In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's mentally yours.
Hello and welcome back to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's mental health podcast. I'm Rachel Moss, Metro's lifestyle editor, and on today's episode, I'm going to be joined by Olympic swimmer, businesswoman, and all-round superstar Rebecca Adlington. We're going to be talking about her life and career and how her recent experience of miscarriage and sepsis impacted her mental health. But before that, I've been hearing from all of you. As always, you've been getting in touch to let us know what you've been doing to support your mental health this week.
After feeling utterly exhausted by my need to people please, I have been looking out for my mental health the past week by actually saying no. I cleared my diary, I cancelled plans, and I took some time out to do exactly what I wanted to do for a week. And I came out the other side feeling energized, refreshed, and actually excited to see people again.
This week, I made a real conscious effort to try and listen to my friends and family more when having conversations with them. I forget how hard it is sometimes to actually really listen to people, especially if I'm having an anxious week. And it made me feel better for trying to be a better friend, but it really reminded me that sometimes everyone's lives are just as complicated as each other's. And by really making an effort to listen, I was sort of able to step out of my own self-centered, anxious bubble for the week.
Rebecca, it's so lovely to be chatting to you today, not only because we've spoken about mental health before and you're so brilliant on all that stuff, but because I think, like a lot of people, I feel like I've grown up with you a little bit. I remember being like 16 and watching this really cool 19-year-old win two golds and being very impressed, and then just seeing you go on TV and talk about shoes a lot. I thought you were an absolute legend for that. How does it feel for you looking back on that now? Does it feel like a million years ago?
Yeah, it always makes me feel really old, especially when people say, yeah, 16. I was like, gosh, and I was 19. And now it's like, yeah, it's so long ago. But in some ways in my life, it feels like it was a million years ago. But then in so many other ways, I remember it all so clearly. Like, there's such vivid memories that obviously I'll never, ever forget. But it's just, and I think because I talk about it so often, and when you see videos and photos, like, it just stays in your memory, like cemented in there compared to other things. But yeah, it's one of those, I'm definitely not as fit as I used to be. I can promise you that. I get tired just walking up the stairs, but it's so lovely when I do get a chance to look back at those memories and those things, because it is far from my life now. So it's always nice to look back.
How was it for you at the time, suddenly being catapulted into the public eye at such a young age?
Do you know what? It was one of those things that at the time, I never, ever expected it. I mean, I didn't have an agent, a manager, whatever you want to call it, going even into Beijing, because Firstly, not many swimmers need one or have to have one, because you don't get into swimming to ever be in any sort of fame or spotlight or anything else. But certainly, obviously, I never even expected to happen to get two gold medals. So I guess for me, it was just so overwhelming coming back from Beijing. And I think Beijing was really special. I think because normally for an Olympic Games, yes, you obviously do get some hype, but it's always difficult when the time difference is a lot, and it was in Beijing, obviously. But also, I think it was just more so because we knew we had London, that there was more of this build up because everyone was got this Olympic fever, because we were like, the next ones are us. And it was like, I don't know, it's just something different in Beijing. And then kind of coming home, I was so overwhelmed. Like, I'd never even seen a famous person. Do you know, some people say, oh, I've walked down the street and I've seen this person, or been here and you've met this person. I've never even seen anybody before. You don't see anyone in Mansfield in the nicest possible way. So it was one of those that was just so bizarre. And it kind of, I just went on this whirlwind of an adventure going. My mum, bless her, was like Jerry Maguire. And she was kind of like, Becky will do this. Yeah, Becky will do that. No, she can't do this. And organizing everything. Like, my family, we were staying up till like 3 a.m. just to answer fan mail. It was just like crazy, that period of my life. But obviously, then I got back into training, and then things calmed down, and I got a manager, agent, whatever that term is, just to kind of help with those sorts of things. And then it did ease out, but it's one of those, you still never get used to it. Even now, my daughter, bless her, she's eight, she's like, Mummy, why do people want your photo? And I'm like, I don't know. And I still don't know what to tell her, because it is bizarre. It is one of those that, like, you never get used to it, I don't think. But it's one of those that everyone's always super lovely, and everyone just thinks, like you said before, that people have grown up with me. A lot of people just go, hiya, Becky. And they forget I don't know them. And I'm like, and then it's like, oh, you don't know me, but I know you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Which is really lovely.
It sounds really lovely and really exciting, but I imagine also there was a lot of pressure that came with that. And I know you've spoken in the past about how it impacted your body image, for example, and the feelings you were having around that as a young woman. Would you mind sharing a bit about that with us?
Yeah, I think it's one of those that growing up from a sport background, you looked at your body in a very, very different way. Like for us in sport, I'm from a sport that it is a very revealing attire that you have to wear. You can't really escape that in the sport of swimming. It is a small costume. You see every lump and bump, every spot, every whatever. You can't do your hair really lovely. You can't really wear makeup. So you are, of course, very exposed. So it's very different. And I think growing up in sport as well, if I went to a competition and if I saw somebody else, I'd be like, wow, they're in shape. And it would make me nervous as a competitor going, they look more in shape. So we looked at our bodies very, very differently. So then when obviously Beijing happened and people were critiquing my looks and my body that were nothing to do with my performance, it just became a shock, because it was kind of like, in sport, that doesn't really happen. And it's kind of like nobody's looking at bits of cellulite, or if they're chubbier than anyone else, everyone's looking at how their body shape is and how they move through the water and is their technique right, and all these different elements. So it was definitely hard to get used to. And I think for me, I don't know how to explain. I think I got used to the body comments more than I did my looks comments, because my body, I was so proud. My body gave me four Olympic medals. My body was my tool. If you think about Formula One and they have a car, my equipment is my body. Like, that's what makes me perform at my very best. But then the whole looks thing was a very strange one for me, because I was kind of like, it was very, very personal, because let's be real, like, not everyone is going to look like Brad Pitt or David Beckham. Not everyone in the world are these beautiful things. And I think as well, beauty is kind of so different to different people. What I consider beautiful might be completely different to somebody else, and it's all subjective, but it had nothing to do with my performance. I could maybe understand people going, oh, you're not as thin as I expected a swimmer to be, or whatever. Whereas my looks, I was like, what difference does that make? I put my hat and goggles on and go for a swim. I don't need to be pretty. I don't need to have that element. And that's something that I really struggled with. And I almost struggled with it more as well, because that was my mum and dad that was reading that. I felt really bad for my family more than I did myself, to be honest, because people forget about that. When you say hurtful comments about people, it's not just that person they're hurting. It's their partner. It's their parents. It's absolutely everybody that is connected to them in a way that it offends them as well. Because my mum and dad had to read that about their baby girl. And it was like, I found it really difficult to help my mum and dad through that as well, because that was a really strange thing to go through.
No, it's just awful that those comments ever happened and that they continue to happen to women in the public eye. It's just infuriating. You've been a really huge advocate for talking about mental health since you left professional swimming. And I know you've spoken about your experience of panic attacks as well. Were they kind of sparked by the way you were treated by some of the newspapers, some people on social media, do you think? Was it connected at all?
No, and that was the bizarre thing. And I think with my own mental health, I had a sports psychologist when I was swimming. So I kind of had a bit of exposure to that sort of stuff, because I had a sports psychologist for 3 years in the sport. But that was all performance-based. It was all sport-based. Every bit was kind of that mental side of sport. And then obviously coming out of sport, and I went through so much in the space of kind of 5-6 years of just a lot of just retiring, setting up my own business, got married, got divorced, had a baby. There was so much during that time. And it wasn't for me anything traumatic that really sparked it off. And I think that's why I struggled with it at the start, because like you just said, what sparked it off? And it was it this. And there wasn't something that sparked it. There wasn't something really traumatic that happened in my life. And I think that's why I didn't really know what was happening. For the first couple of months, I didn't really recognize there were panic. It was anxiety. There were panic attacks. It kind of took a while, because I just thought, oh, this is just a bit normal. And I kind of couldn't really piece it together. And I found it really difficult. I didn't really speak to anybody about it for a good couple of months, because I couldn't figure it out. Because like you just said, there wasn't something specific that would set it off. And I think that's why it took me quite a few months to then say to my partner, my husband now, but my boyfriend at the time, this is happening, what's going on? And he was brilliant. He'd never had them before, but he was so supportive and was just like, how can I help? And then that's when it was like, I don't really want to burden anyone else with this. So that's why I went down the therapy route. I do think therapy is not for everyone, and everyone has their own ways of dealing with everything. But for me, it just was an absolute no-brainer, and it was something that massively changed my life, just going into that environment, talking to somebody that wasn't connected to me, didn't have that opinion, and could professionally help me deal with it, because nothing was sparking it off. There wasn't a big traumatic event. I think it was just a build-up of everything that had been happening all those years, and I think it was a build-up of just so much in my life had finally then, my life had started to finally slow down. I was going 100 miles an hour when I was swimming, 100 miles an hour for a couple of years when I retired. And it was the first time that my life was starting to find a bit of balance. And that sounds strange that that's what sparked it. But I think it was just, I had more time to think. I had more time to process things. And that's when then everything just started to kind of spiral from there, really.
Did the therapy help you with any techniques for combating panic attacks? Are they still something that you experience now?
Yeah, all the time, as in just acceptance of it, just definitely accepting. When I feel a bit panicky, like I feel a bit unnervy, I will definitely accept it. I'll definitely communicate it, even if it's just acknowledgement of just to my husband in passing, just don't feel right today. It makes a huge difference. But other techniques, like just tapping in to my surroundings, like I do them with my kids, actually. They don't know that it's for me, the therapy techniques. But doing little games, like trying to find different colors around the room, different shapes around the room, playing the alphabet game. It's literally just to take me away from those kind of really anxious thoughts, anything to just kind of make me feel a bit grounded again. We play the alphabet game with animals, with boys' names, girls' names, like anything, food, anything, doing all that sort of stuff. And I do it all the time. It's great with the kids. They love it, but it definitely just helps me go, I feel a bit better. It just gives me a moment to breathe, to catch my breath, to kind of take my brain attention away from the thoughts that I don't need to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Also a big fan of the alphabet game. I do it when I'm trying to get to sleep. I have done every boy's name, every girl's name under the sun. If I need to switch my brain off, it's the alphabet game to go to. You've mentioned that so much of your life has changed in the past few years. You've divorced, you've remarried, you've had two lovely kids with Summer and Albie. How has becoming a mum shaped the way that you see yourself now, or changed the way that you see your body?
Oh, massively, massively. Like, if somebody had said to me before I had kids, this was how I was going to feel and be, I wouldn't have believed them. Like, it is completely different to what I expected. I've never really been the most maternal person in the world. It's always been my sisters that are so maternal, so great with kids. And I was part of sport. It was like, I didn't really need to tap into that side of me. And then as soon as I had kids, I'm completely maternal. I'm completely like the soft one, the one that's just, I love being around my kids. And it's just completely softened me. It's completely changed my approach of going from a sport as well, which you have to be quite selfish to be a professional sports person. And to now, I'm always the bottom of the priority list. Like, completely switched to now, when you become a mum, you have to be selfless. That's just, your world is organizing and thinking about these little human beings that you've got to look after. So it completely changes, and certainly about myself as well. Like, I don't have time to sometimes worry about the way I look. I don't focus on things. You kind of let go of quite some of they're not petty, but some of the stuff that I didn't need to hold on to in the past, because you simply do not have time as a mum to focus on those other things. Like, sometimes I go out and I come back, and my husband now, he's like, did you go out like that? And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Like, just because my hair is like an absolute mess, I've not even brushed it, got no makeup on, I'm in like total lounge wear, look like a slob, and I'm like, oh, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to pick the kids up. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to school drop off or whatever. Like, and it just changes, isn't it? You're just more relaxed. I think going through pregnancies and things like that and having kids, you kind of go, God, the human body is amazing. So one of my friends, actually, she, bless her, had a very, very premature little one who's totally okay. But I kind of was moaning to her one day about my stretch marks and all this sort of stuff. And she would turn around to me and she was like, I would love to have stretch marks, because I never got that chance, because her little one came before she could even get to that stage of pregnancy. And that has totally stayed with me. That was from like 9 years ago, when I was 8 years ago when I had Summer. And it completely stays with me all the time, that when I want to moan about my stretch marks or how I've got this wobbly bit on my tummy that never seems to go, I just remember that. And I think, I've given birth to two very healthy children. Like, I'm not bothered about a stretch mark. It's fine.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Thank you. So I know you had a really, really tough 2022. You suffered a miscarriage and then had sepsis. Do you mind sharing what happened for listeners who might not have heard the story about that?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those. We were 12 weeks pregnant at the time and going for our normal 12-week scan, had no symptoms of a miscarriage at all. It was felt like a normal pregnancy. You're tired, you're nauseous, you kind of all the normal symptoms of a pregnancy. And especially from having two children, I didn't notice anything different either. But obviously went to the 12-week scan, and the poor lady, bless her, that has just the hardest job to then, I could tell straight away something wasn't right. She was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to move you and I'm just going to get my colleague, and came back, and then she had to say, yeah, unfortunately there is no heartbeat, and had to tell us. And me and my husband were just completely like in shock, because it was one of those, you don't expect it when there's been no symptoms, no nothing. We were so relaxed about it. And then obviously from there, everything just kind of spiraled. They kind of take you into a separate room. They tell you then you've got to have surgery and everything the next morning. And it was kind of just a blur, because you literally go into this 12-week scan and we were just happy. We were chatting. We were like, oh, this is so exciting. And how are we going to tell the kids and all this sort of stuff, to then phoning my parents going, I need you to look after the kids, I'm going into surgery in the morning, and all this is happening. And it's so, there's such a step process that has to happen. I appreciate you have to go into surgery because you have to deal with what's happened, but it's so emotional at the same time as being so, well, this is what's got to happen, like formal in that aspect. And obviously, I had the surgery. I lost a lot of blood, like 2 liters of blood or something. So stayed overnight in hospital, came out of hospital, just felt horrific. Just couldn't even explain how horrific I felt. I kept saying to my husband, like, I just don't feel right. And he was like, well, in what way? Are you bleeding more? Are you this? And I was like, I can't describe to you. I just feel horrific. I can't lift my head. I feel like I can't breathe. I feel like I've got no energy. I went to the toilet and I fainted on the floor. And I was like, he was like, right, let's go back to hospital, get in the car. I was like, I can't get in the car. Like, I physically cannot move. I couldn't explain it. Then obviously the ambulance came and got sent back into hospital, where they obviously then found out I had sepsis and kind of was then in hospital for about a week, etc. But it was just dealing with that whole process, because I felt so poorly afterwards, but I didn't have the emotional energy, because you just have been through something horrific. So it took a good probably month to physically feel a bit more human again. It took quite a while, but it's something that I don't think you ever get over, a miscarriage. I don't think it ever leaves you. Like, me and my husband have said, just even over the past couple of months when we would have had a little one, and that the due date was this, my husband was convinced we were going to have a girl, all these different elements that you don't ever forget. It stays with you. But I think it's been important for me and him to still talk about those things and understand that he's feeling different ways to I was as well. Like, it's kind of, because I was so poorly, I think a lot of people were kind of like, how's Becky? Not because they were just wanting to check on me, but just because of how poorly I got. Whereas Andy was kind of a bit like, I'm the dad of this child too. It was hard for him to process. So I think it's been really important for us both to be there for each other and accept that each other feels differently about certain things, and just accepting that and talking about that together has been really important.
Yeah, it's amazing you're sharing that story publicly as well, because as we know, like, so many people go through this behind closed doors, and just I think the more you hear about it, the more you realize you're not alone in that experience. What did you both do to try and kind of process it and look after your mental health afterwards?
Yeah, and I think sharing that has been part of that journey. It was amazing to us how many people, like you said afterwards, came to us and were like, oh, we've had miscarriages too. And we were like, we never knew. And it was like, I totally appreciate not everybody wants to share things. And we totally respect that a lot of our friends and family didn't ever tell anyone, and they kept it so private. And I totally appreciate that that was their journey with it. But for me, it was like, wow, it really opened my eyes up. And I think that's why we did say something publicly, because it was kind of like, hold on. Well, firstly, me and Andy want the support. I was kind of like, hold on, I'm taking a month off work here pretty much to get better. Had to tell everyone at work. And I kind of wanted people to know I was going through something. I didn't want to hide that. I didn't want to have to go back into work and be really upbeat, like, oh yeah, what, where have you been? And it's kind of like, I kind of wanted to just own it and say, look, I am going to be sad. This is hard to deal with. And actually, the more I've spoken to people, I think that's what has helped us through this process and really helps from a mental health aspect. The fact that we've talked to other people, found out how they've processed, how they've dealt with it and their journeys. And it's just been incredible. It's one of those that I can't believe how common miscarriage is. It absolutely falls you when you hear the statistics around it. But when you just talk to all your friends and family about it, it's pretty much 50% of people I know that I'm like, how is this even possible? And it's kind of one of those that that's definitely helped us. But certainly just little things as well that's helped us, just like Andy just being, has spoken very openly to me about things and vice versa, that one day I might not have even thought about it, but he might have. And I think it's important that we recognize that with each other, that he's having a day where he's going, oh. And actually, I need to know that he's going through that, because I come in from work and I'm just like, hey, how's your day? And it's kind of like, hold on, he's not in that space, and what's going on? And I think it's just keeping that communication there and open at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd really love to know what else you do to look after your mental health kind of in general. We start every episode of Mentally Yours by asking our listeners to tell us what they've been doing to look after their well-being this week. What have you been up to?
This week, I have read a book. That for me is a big deal. Like, I, with two kids, work full-time, etc., I never read a book. And it's one of those, even if I started a book, I never finish a book. So for me, I've read a full book, start to finish, obviously not in one go, but it's one of those for me, I love that time. I think you get very stuck into, not necessarily a rut, because I love telly, but sometimes it is very much like you go home, you turn the telly on, or you're busy with the kids, or you're busy doing housework, or I'm busy on my laptop doing work. And I think I forget to break that mold sometimes. Like, me and my husband, we sound about 90 years old when I say this, we love jigsaws and things like that. So we tend to do stuff like that together, which is really, really nice. But I think this week it's just been so nice to do something for myself, read a book that I've wanted to read, have a bit of peace and quiet, and just get engrossed into a book. I love that feeling of where it's just switch off, no kids, no noise, no nothing. I love just peace and quiet. So it's been heaven.
That sounds very nice. I'm also very impressed that you've managed to squeeze it in. You've partnered with SMA Pro Follow-On Milk and Growing Up Milk, which is why we're getting to have this lovely chat with you today. Is nutrition also a big part of your self-care routine or a priority for you and your family?
I think it's one of those, yeah, certainly being an athlete, it's something that I've always kind of had in the back of my mind. I would never ever say I'm not an expert in it at all, but I'm very aware of kind of just a balanced approach, making sure that my kids are getting everything they need. And certainly becoming a mom really, really changed my approach to nutrition as well. But certainly for me, my kids have got big age gaps. So obviously there's 5 years between my kids, and I think so much changes. And I was kind of really worried once I had Albie that I was kind of like, oh gosh, all the advice has changed and all the things have changed. And it's kind of like, you get a bit nervous about that as a parent, making sure that your child is getting everything they need. So for me, I absolutely loved when getting approached and working on this campaign, because obviously just highlighting that importance of vitamin D and iron. For myself, I was completely shocked by the statistics. I don't know about you, but the 47%, it's such a high percentage of people, of babies that aren't getting enough. And it certainly makes me think, even for my 8-year-old, are they getting enough vitamin D and iron? So obviously to be invited by SMA Pro Follow On Milk and growing up milk to undergo just the complete variety of challenges as well, and just getting to speak to experts, because I think that sometimes as a parent, you don't get that. And it's kind of like really nice to have those experts on hand to talk about sleep, nutrition, movement, absolutely everything. And obviously, we loved the triathlon that we did. We had so much fun on the day and just doing all these little challenges with Albie and all the other kids. But it was really great being at home and doing the three different challenges and cooking with Albie and doing a water activity, all these different elements, which just were amazing to just feel, okay, the expert said this, okay, so I think I'm doing it right as well, just to get a bit of confidence as a mom, making sure that just, yeah, my kids are getting it off, I'm doing the right thing. I think we all need that sometimes, definitely as a parent, because 90% of the time you're just winging it, aren't you? So it was great to work alongside the experts as well.
You are just winging it most of the time, but it seems like you're doing a pretty good job, so I wouldn't worry too much. They seem to be all right. We've got one final question for you that we ask all of our podcast guests, and that's, what's the most important lesson that you've learned about mental health that you want to share with the Mentally Yours listeners?
Most important lesson, I think, would probably be, just from my own personal experience, is that I think a lot of the time you associate anything to a big traumatic event or something happening which is very sad or a massive event. And I think it's important to acknowledge that even if it's something small, if it's affecting your mental health, that is a big deal in your world. And I think we shouldn't, I felt very guilty of kind of talking about mental health or my anxiety and panic attacks when I hadn't been through something traumatic, because there is thousands, millions of people out there that have been through so many horrific things, whether it's something traumatic or grief or anything else. And when you don't experience those, you feel like, I shouldn't really talk about mine. Whereas actually, it's a big deal in your world. If it's affecting you and your day to day and how you function as a human being, as how I function at work or as a parent or whatever, it's equally as important you address those. So the small things and all that buildup of things is just as important, that we kind of seek the help that we need, that support that we need. We all need that. And to try not to be embarrassed about it, I will acknowledge, like I told everyone I was going to therapy, because I'd rather just be honest about it. And as much as people sometimes feel embarrassed about it or shy away from it, I think if anyone reacts badly to you saying you'll go to therapy or you have anxiety or whatever it is, that's shame on them really, rather than shame on you. I think it's kind of like the reaction of other people. The only thing I got was help and support, and I think I really needed that. So I don't know about you, but I don't ask for help. I'm not one of those people. I won't ever ask for help. So actually, by sharing it, it allowed me not to ask for help, but to people to offer that help and support without me asking for it in a roundabout way. So it was really lovely to have that. I didn't realize I needed the support that I needed, with, if that makes sense. So yeah, I think everything is a big deal to you if it's affecting your world, and you have a right to own that, talk about it, and find the support that you need.
Absolutely. I could not agree with that more. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing so much with us today. You've been great.
Thank you. It's mentally yours.
Thanks so much to Rebecca for being our guest this week on Mentally Yours. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today, please call the Samaritans on 116 123. You can find us on our Facebook group, Mentally Yours, and on X at Mentally YRS. And get involved. Tell us what you've been doing to look after your mental health this week. Message at Pineapple Audio Production on Instagram with your voice notes. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way soon. Mentally Yours is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. Bye for now.
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.